evening and welcome to episode 483 of the Jersnet podcast. I'm your host tonight, I'm John McCallum. I am joined by Jamie Martin, and we'll be going through the game this afternoon and looking ahead to the rest of the week. Now, before that, just a reminder that it's not just a podcast we have here at Jersnet. We have a forum, we have articles, we have social media, we have a great history archive. But it is the podcast that you probably know is best for. And a reminder that this is a podcast that is made by fans for fans, where the content is completely free. And we would encourage you to subscribe and share on social media. Tell your friends if you enjoy it. Now, none of this would be possible without our sponsors, who are Forest Precision Engineering. Forest Precision Engineering are a Glasgow-based subcontract engineering company. They're a big commercial sponsor of Rangers, and we are delighted they're backing us again. And now, you can find out more about Forest Precision Engineering if you visit their website, which is forestprecisioneng.com. Alternatively, you might be more interested in the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, which is a hospitality area within the main stand. And it is available for people if you would like to use it. And for more information on how to book it, you contact the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, it's been a while, and I'm going to tell you this in all honesty, it has been a while since we've had a happy podcast, at least a happy podcast with me in it, after what feels like about 4 or 5 seasons of me coming on talking about draws or defeats. Finally, I get to talk about a 5-win home one. And so tonight, surely it's all going to be positive. We'll see. So we're going to look back on our first win of the season. We're going to discuss our new left-back. Have we finally found our best 11? Who we've drawn in the next round, if you've not heard, and what we need to do on Thursday evening. And I'm pleased I'm going to get to do that in the company of Jamie Martin. How are you tonight, Jamie?
Very well.
A bit happier than last time I saw you, I think.
Yes. Well, my track record last season wasn't bad. Yeah, I think I was on a couple of times. We only had 2 defeats in about 10 appearances, so I'm hoping that continues. This is my first appearance with a first win, so I'm hoping that continues.
And well, I was on the first podcast of the season. We lasted 20 minutes and the line failed. The software gave up and we get taken off here. So, and I thought, well, that's probably a fitting omen for the season ahead. Yeah. But hey, let's not focus on the doom and gloom. Let's be happy while we can.
Absolutely.
And the Simon game today, look, I don't imagine too many of us went into that game thinking we were going to win 5-1. And I think when I saw the starting 11, I texted a couple of my friends and I said to them, I can't see where the goals are coming from. Which clearly, once again, underlines how little I know about football, and is probably why I'm always on during defeats. So no Shankland, no Asgard, starts for Chukwuane. I'm going to try and say this now, Dragojevic.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've done with that. Debut for Penrice. We'll talk about Penrice in a moment, but overall, what did you make of our starting 11 when you saw it? Did it surprise you?
It did a wee bit, simply because there was one or two players who have been struggling, I think. And I think we all know the ones that we're probably looking at. In the opening games, I've been very surprised with Eric's first 11 selection, so to speak, in the opening games up to now. And I was today. I looked at it and I thought, oh, there's one or two still in there. Probably not quite hitting the levels that we expect at Rangers. We're very open here. We can speak our mind, and this is what I said earlier. It's therapy for us, John, getting things off your chest. But the likes of Gassama has been struggling a wee bit. Nadiri, for me, I'm just no.
Nadiri starting surprised me.
Oh, absolutely. That was the biggest surprise for me today. Yeah. And Chukwuane was thrown in today. I was a wee bit surprised at that. Yeah. I thought he would have gone with Devlin in front of him.
Yep. I thought he was on the way out, to be honest with you.
And I thought that. But I wanted to touch on that because I'm in the recruitment game myself, you know, and quite often we all raise eyebrows and we think, why is he starting him? He's not doing it. and we've all got our thoughts on that. Now, sometimes I will say the other side of the flip coin is that quite a lot of managers can get put under pressure with people up in the board. And what I'm trying to say here is, and I don't think Derek McInnes is one of those to be influenced. However, I don't know. I'm not on the board. I don't know what's going on behind there. But I know for a fact that the first couple of games, even Diomande starting in the first couple of games, I was thinking, not for me. He's way off it. He's not quite what we want. However, like we got our money back in him. So there can be ulterior motives with people upstairs. They might say, look, if we keep playing him, he's in the shop window. We know he's not going to be long-term for us. But if he's playing in the first team here, we might get top dollar for him and we can move him on. I'm sure there's something like that. And I can have read the lines in the first game, Dundee United. I knew myself because I thought for certain, like every Rangers fan out there, I thought, Shankland will play up front with Chermiti, without a doubt. Chermiti doesn't start and I'm going straight away because in my head's in another world where people are not really thinking the way I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, somebody's come in for him. That's why he's not starting. So there can be things like that in the background that people don't really appreciate that's going on. And it basically, you know, we're Raskin coming in. And now I'm all for Raskin playing because he's one of our best midfielders, no doubt about that. And that keeps his value up. So a lot of people kind of forget that side of the game. However, I'm like every Rangers fan. I just think Derek's took time to find his best 11. I don't think he was far off it today. From what the players he's got run about him, I thought the back four was solid, a barren one, which I'm going to come to. I thought the goalkeeper looks good. He comes off his line, Pandor. Right back, Sterling, very solid today. I thought it was a great game. They took him off, obviously, just to give him a wee rest. McCagna looks as if he's been playing for two or three seasons. Doesn't look as if he's breaking sweat. Covers the ground. Solid. Gets goal side of people. Gets challenges in. And Penrice was outstanding today. His contribution from left back was, I'll be honest, I think he performed better than anybody expected. And this gets back to the old nonsense that people need time to bed in. No, you don't. If you can play football, you can start. That boy only played, he's trained, what, one day? Thrown straight into the team. Man of the match for me today, by a mile.
Some players do. Some players don't. They're like, you know, they're like all the rest of us.
Yeah.
You know, that we're all different, and I think it's some players, for whatever reason, take a bit longer to settle and you know, find a rhythm.
But that goes down to your character, John.
Yeah.
You have to find the right characters to come and play for Rangers and hit the ground running straight away. And we have missed that for many, many years. We've signed the wrong players who can't come in and do that.
All I'd say is, I saw Roman's first game.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, here, look at him. Here, this is the bag we've been waiting for. And, you know, I still think Roman's is the best crosser of a ball at the club. And I think that, you know, when both are fit, he's our first choice left back. But, you know, how often is he fit? That's the challenge with Roman's, is he does seem to be yet another player with who picks up injuries. Innocuous ones, you know, the ones you think, I didn't even notice him getting an injury.
People forget it, John, sorry to butt in. When we signed Romans, he came with an injury.
Yes. Someone pointed that out to me the other day when it was reported that I think Bruges were interested in him, and I said, well, they're not going to sign him with an injury, and we signed him with an injury. To be fair, it's hard to sign Romans without an injury. You'd need to have perfect timing to work that one, but anyway, we will see.
But getting back to your lineup, John, we were talking about that earlier. I mean, the back four I thought were excellent. Manny was probably the only one below par today.
Yeah.
In the opening games, we have.
But then who else are you going to play?
Well, that's it. He's got to play. Because we've nobody else. We've been lacking cover in all positions.
Suter seems to be so far out of the picture just now.
Well, he was. He's moving on, so we can forget him. But that is the back four for me that we've got at the minute. There's no doubt about that. Yep. That's our best back four that's available at this moment in time. Manny, for me, just needs a rocket in terms of just stop the casualness. Go and do your defending first. he just looks a little bit as if he's just cruising in third gear. You know, somebody needs to just give him a rocket, I think, half time, and just say, look, get your finger out, stop the sloppiness, and you can he can be a big player for us.
Yeah, he needs to cut that out.
We've seen enough to know there is that he can be a good defender, and he's got pace, he's got vision, he's big and strong, but today he was awful. He's not been good this season, but he was awful today.
Yeah, and Shank's got that, and I think he's going to rotate the strikers. Like you, I'm very, very surprised he didn't go with Miowski up front. I would have probably started him personally today. And obviously, Asgard was suspended, so a lot of people were saying, why is he not in the squad? Why is he not even on the bench? He was suspended. So he was out of equation.
How long is he suspended for?
I think it was two games he got.
Two games, okay.
So he wasn't available.
So he'll miss the next cup game?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was my understanding as well. But like you, you know, I was a wee bit surprised. Nadiri surprised me. Gassama, I actually thought Gassama did okay the other night. His end product is all... You know, Gassama wouldn't play for us if he had a good end product. You know, Gassama would be at a far higher level. Let's be quite honest with each other.
Yeah.
He's got a trick. He's got speed. But
his
product is poor. And that, you know, I actually thought he did okay the other night. I thought the first half, you know, when we were getting the ball to him and allowing him to attack, he did pretty well. I thought the second half, like the rest of the team, you know, he fell away when we changed our tactics. Today, you know, you can't fault him. You know, I think he did enough today to say, okay, that jersey's yours just now.
Yeah.
And, you know, your job now is to keep it. He took his goal well.
Yeah, I thought he was very positive today. And he did pretty well the other night, I have to say. But what he does bring is, it brings us a wee injection of pace, which we've lacked.
Yeah.
He'll run at people and he'll try and commit defenders. And if he gets one-on-one with somebody, you know, in terms of he's very hard to catch because he's got a great turn of pace over 5-10 yards. As you say, his delivery's not always on the money.
No. Too often it's not. For me, that's...
Yes, it's a big thing for him.
Too often it's not.
The two things that stick out for me for him is his final ball, which we all know. And it's just consistency.
Yeah.
Can he do it 3 or 4 games in a row? Or is he going to do it that 1 and 2, and then he goes missing for 2 or 3 games? That's his biggest thing for me. If he can be a little bit more consistent, then I think we've got, you know, a great option on the left to get at people, and he's definitely better on the left flank than he is on the right. There's no doubt about that.
I would agree with that entirely. Yeah, yeah. No, look, I think McInnes is playing him in his right position just now,
yes.
And that's working quite well. I mean, we'll talk about individual players as we go through the day. But let's start with Penrice, a player we've been linked with. You know, we were linked with him in January. I hadn't realised. I think he was interviewed after the game today, and he spoke that he said he thought he was coming in January. And that had fallen through, and then he heard again. He sounded pretty positive about wanting to join the club. He made it pretty clear that this was where he wanted to go, and this was the only place he wanted to go, which is still always nice to hear.
Yeah,
you know, he's a name I was familiar with from Scottish football without being a player I was particularly familiar with. He got the move to Greece. By all accounts, he did okay there. You know, I think they won the league and
won the league.
He play 30 odd games, which suggests that, you know, he was certainly part of their first team on more occasions than not. He had a dream debut. I mean, it's not going to be better than a goal and an assist and a 5-1 victory. You know, every week's not going to be like that, but it's certainly the dream debut. But you know, another Scot, another player that Penrice, another player that McInnes has worked with before, that McInnes knows. I think a supporter of the club. You know, it is interesting the profile of player is coming in. But Penrice himself said in that interview after the game that he believed that McInnes had fought to get him. I think that was the words he used, that the gaffer fought to get me, which suggests that he's a McInnes signing.
Yeah.
So I mean, as I said, I'm not, you know, not particularly familiar with him. I know he was at Livingston. I think he was at Rangers as a boy.
He was, yeah. I was just going to touch on that. He was with Rangers in the youth academy many years ago, along with the likes of Shanks, funnily enough. And, you know, McCrory's in this world. Yeah. We seem to have an influx of guys coming back to us that's come through our youth system, which sometimes you raise eyebrows and go, what are we doing? Are we missing a trick here?
Well, I think we all know we've certainly missed more than a few tricks over the years with that. Yes. Problem you have with our youth system is if you're not good enough to play on our first team at 18, we let you go. You know, the reality is that players, you know, he's a boy who's probably played 300 games, first team games.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is what you need to do to get to the level of playing for Rangers.
Yes.
And he's played one game. So let's, you know, well, as much as I'm going to talk about unfair criticism that some players have had, I think it also goes, you know, let's be careful not to put him on too high a pedestal just yet.
Well, I would have to say, John.
But he had a great debut. So tell me what you know about him and what should
be. I was going to say, yeah, he's obviously been in Scotland and obviously went to the Thistle and he's been to Hearts. And obviously, Derek knows him. He's been to playing in Greece. They won the title.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got a winning attitude.
That's a decent standard, Greek football.
It's
certainly as good as Scottish football.
That league is certainly on par with the Scottish league.
Yeah.
But probably might even be a bit stronger.
I would say there's probably a bit of depth of club in it, yeah.
So, I think he's a great addition. I just hope they can get the loan deal turned into a permanent, because you could see the difference he brought today. And what he did bring today is the balance. With a natural left footer, which, to be honest, when I was listening to Derek in the first couple of games, you could tell he was having a wee pop at the recruitment in terms of, I think he came out with a couple of quotes after the first game and said, I need a bit of help. So he's having a wee pop and saying, look, I need positions sorted. He clearly said that. We all heard that. And then the other one was clearly clear as day as well, was, you know, we're playing with fire. And what he meant by that was that we were lightweight in very, very key positions. And I actually called it a couple of weeks ago, and I'd done off a cursed Romans. I said, if we have a problem with Romans at left back, we've got no natural left footers at the back to cover. And they've had to say similar problems at right back because nobody's really doing it. And the centre back problem, we were lightweight because Suter was moving on. And we had injuries all over the pitch, obviously, with Godfrey getting injured was. Was a major issue. That was Derek saying, oof, we're in the soup here. I need help. We need to go and get back up. And in fairness, the recruitment team have went and got Penrice, and I think that's a great bit of business. I hope they can get him over the line and get him. Because, let's be honest, a club like Rangers, the planning should be better than what it has been. And what I mean by that is you should have cover in all bases for every position.
Yeah.
And you should be able to go, do you know what, if Roman gets injured, Penrice is coming in at left back. And I'll tell you what, Romans will be sitting watching that game now and going, I've got to look over my shoulder now. Am I getting back in? And what that does is it raises the ability in the dressing room, because everybody, if you've got players fighting for positions, you've got everybody looking over their shoulder thinking, am I starting next week? It keeps them on their toes, John. And we need that all over the park.
Yeah, I agree entirely. You know, and having the amount of games that Rangers play in a season,
yeah,
you know, we can have two good players for every position, and they'll both get games.
Yeah,
you know, they will get games, and you know, there will be one player who's first choice, but players will get games, and I think that's how it has to be. And you know, particularly defensive players, you know, they'll pick up suspensions. You know, there'll be knocks. Everybody will get a game.
Yeah,
so it's good. You need good players. I was delighted with Penrice today. He isn't a signing that made me go, oh wow, that's fantastic, I'm excited about that. He's not an exciting signing that left backs really are. But I saw enough today to think, okay, that's an interesting addition. He's you know, like you say, it was the most balanced we've looked so far this season, and I think we all agree on that. And his goal was one of these goals where you think, yeah, you worked for that.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the break, you know, I think he's in his own box when we win possession for that break, and he ends up in their 6-yard box. And you think, yeah, okay, that's working hard. That's clearly, and you saw it today, and we'll talk about the goals in a minute, but you saw it today. We got players forward. You know, we got players into their box, and there's too often, and you know, to be fair to Gassama, there's too often, you know, he's found himself in a position, he's head up and there's one guy in the box. You know, and unless it's an absolutely perfect cross, then you know, you've no chance of getting the ball to it. And the ball comes back out again. You end up going back round in the dreaded horseshoe. So today we didn't do that. So let's start with the first half. And I wrote it here. We saw quite possibly the scrappiest goal we've seen in a long time.
It wasn't the prettiest, John.
By one of the best goals we've seen in a long time. Oh. Nadiri's goal, I'm not sure which part of his anatomy that hit.
Well, it definitely came off his thigh.
It came off some part of one anyway, yeah.
He will take that because he's in absolutely. The 6-yard box. How many goals did Ali McCoy score like that? And to be honest, personally, I'm not a fan of Nadiri. I don't think he brings a lot to the table. For £5 million, yeah. I'm looking for a hell of a lot more from
him. He works hard, and I think you know, that's the best.
I'll give him his due. He rolls up his sleeves, yeah. And he does try. And to be honest, a lot of Rangers fans love that. I think that's what they like about him. He's honest. He'll cover ground. He puts himself about. He is young. I'll give him that. And I think he would really benefit me personally. I don't think I would be playing him week in, week out. I would probably look to use him off the bench. And I would maybe even at this moment in time consider putting him out on loan. Just to improve his game, just give him minutes every week. I don't see him playing every week. He seems to be playing him at the moment.
Is he not just playing because Chernitti's crocked?
And I think Chernitti's obviously crocked. But for me, I would have went with Miofsky personally. That's just my preference over the two. And simply because, you know, you're looking at goals at the minute. You're looking to get goals. And I looked at the stats. And Chernitti was our top scorer last year with 18 goals. Miofsky played about a third of his minutes and got 14.
Three managers now Miofsky's played under
and they were picking him. I totally agree with that. Yeah. But you look at the goal return. On a third of the games that Chermiti played, he scored 14 goals. I believe that was Nadiri's fourth goal for us today. Yeah. And he's played a hell of a lot more minutes.
I'm hoping he might be one of these players that becomes gets a bit streaky. You know, if he gets one, he then suddenly scores for three or four games.
I was just wondering.
He's not a natural finisher, you know.
No, he's not.
He's a listen, target man, for want of a better word.
I was delighted for him because I thought he was under a bit of pressure and he got us a goal. Yes, it was, you know, a bit of luck.
We needed a bit of luck. You know, we've been needing a bit of luck.
Absolutely. I think, listen, that just... You could feel the tension just getting relieved. Yeah. When that goal went in, it just gives you a wee cushion to just say, like, let's get on the ball, make things happen now. Gives us a bit of confidence. And if you go 1-0 up, if we go 1-0 down, John, it's one of them. The crowd are on their back. And I don't think the Rangers players, over the last, for quite a while, we don't really perform at Ibrox. And I believe it's partly to do with the crowd, and I'm not having a go at the crowd here.
No, but I do agree with you.
They've got a lot of pressure on the players, and a lot of them crumble. Yeah. And they're scared to make these forward passes that's not been happening. They're playing like crabs. They're going side to side because it's the easy pass, and they're scared to make mistakes.
And even today, you know, at 2-1, towards the end of the first half, you could hear the anxiety in the crowd. You could feel the anxiety, and you could see it in the players. You know, suddenly the things they were doing the first 30 minutes of the match did stop doing, and you know, St. Mirren actually had a good start to the season. They're playing. I mean, it's a funny game. You know, it could have been 4-2 at halftime, and nobody could have complained. So the only thing on the first goal before I leave it was Gassama. He obviously had the shot which was saved. He then won the header.
Yeah,
I don't know if I've ever seen Gassama win a header before.
Well, I think that's the first for me.
Bit of desire shown there, and I thought, yeah, fair play to you, and I thought, yeah, we want that. And then the second goal, anybody who's played football at any level, you know, even if you've just played like me, you know, amateur, not even particularly good amateur, but anybody who has played football knows how wonderful that strike was. Just the ability to do that, to take it in the chest and then hit it first time, and so sweetly from that distance. You could watch that goal all day, and if he's capable of that, then you know, I'm kind of excited to see what else he's capable of. What a goal!
Oh, John, it was an absolute worldie. And I was delighted because not just for the quality of the goal, I thought, do you know what? It's refreshing that one of our midfielders is having a pop at goal. Mm. We've been lacking that. And to be fair to him, in the game the other night as well, I thought, he's had a couple of pops at goal.
Yeah.
Even today before he scored his goal, he had a shot. It was very unlucky. We just went wide of the post.
That's right.
Should have probably hit the target, to be fair.
Yeah, wouldn't have been.
He's getting in the positions to get a shot from central midfield, which we've been lacking for long enough. Mm. Somebody taking a pop at goal from distance. But I'll tell you what, he took that in his chest. Honestly, his first touch was absolutely superb. It just sets him up perfectly. And he hit this volley. What a worldie. And there was one thing that came to my mind. I went, that was better than Ray Wilkins' goal against
Well,
because it was top bins.
I don't know about that.
It was an absolute... I wouldn't say it's... Listen, we're not talking about... If that had been against Celtic, by
if
far...
If he was been against Celtic, I would allow that conversation, but...
That goal just reminded me of the class of Ray Wilkins. Just taking the volley from the... You know, I think it was about 18 minutes. He took it in his chest. The first touch was magnificent.
First touch made it. I mean, the second touch was a hard one. But without the first one, you can't hit the second one.
Coach any kid, John, everything's about your first touch because it sets up the second move. Right? If your first touch is decent and it's on the money, it sets up the next thing. And that just set up a peach for him. And he just, honestly, his techers was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he hit the top bin. And as they call it in professional football, what a buddy Holly that was. Honestly, a volley. The knee keeper was saving it.
No.
Worldie.
It was an absolute belter. And I was delighted for him as well because, you know, he's come in. I won't say he's come in with a big reputation because I'd never heard of him before he was linked with us. But he's come in, you know, captain of Partizan Belgrade, young guy, coming into us from Serbian football. You know, Serbian football, a bit like Greek football. You know, it's not a top league, but it's certainly, I would say, probably on a par with Scottish football.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's coming in. We know that he's coming to us in the hope that he has, you know, a good 18 months and somebody comes in from England or Spain or Germany and you know, offers us 10 million and offers to double his salary, and you know, we get that's how players like that are operating. So it's important for him and it's important for us that he starts to perform quite quickly. So you know, I'm going to give him plaudits for his goal, which was a lovely, lovely goal, a beautiful goal. I'm now going to
I know where you're going to go with this.
What about this their goal? I mean, what was happening in midfield there? And the thing about it is it had happened just before it, it was maybe a couple of minutes before it. We had a wee moment of those two not quite being on the same wavelength.
Do you know what came across my mind? I thought there was a couple of instances. I thought Pandor's trying to play out from the back here, and you know that name came into my head, and I went, Russell Martin. No, let's not go back to playing football at the back. We've not got the players to play there. Just play it forward, right? And I thought, well, you know, at least he's trying to go and show for the ball and try and play. But they played the ball into Manny. Manny got a little bit sloppy as well. Played the ball to Dragojevic, who had his back to play. Got caught. And to be fair, the ball broke to the boy on the edge of the box. And I'll tell you,
what a finish.
It was a great finish.
It was by no means a gimme. What a finish it was.
It was top bins, and it was a great goal. And to be honest, at that point, you're 2-1 and you're going, it's just before half time. It can upset the rhythm of the team for a wee bit because we were coasting it to 2-0. We're going 2-0 at half time. You're thinking, well, this game's done and dusted. We'll just get another goal. And then we can start maybe chopping and changing, resting players, etc. But that 2-1 always gives you the other team a chance.
Yeah.
And to be fair to St. Mirren, they must have had a few chances.
Oh, they did. They had a couple of chances before they scored. And to be fair, we had as well. We did a couple of chances. I mean, there was one that Nadiri missed you're like, how did he miss that? How did he not kind of get that one? And there was one in Raskin, a header. And I'm at the time thinking, what happened there? Completely misjudged it. And then you saw again, did he get fouled? And I've seen it since.
Yeah.
How is that not a penalty? Two hands in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about refereeing as the programme goes on. But, you know, again, without the foul, I think Raskin's scoring that because he's good in the air. So you know, it could have been, you know, it could have been 4-2, it could have been 4-3 at half time. It was that type of game. It was end to end. It was a proper cup tie, to be fair.
Yeah. Then let's not forget, John, they won that competition last year.
Absolutely.
So they've no mugs at
the moment. No, and they have had a good start to the season. You know, they came to Ibrox with, you know, they came wanting a result. They came looking for a result, thinking we can get a result.
Well,
I think
anyone coming to Ibrox at the minute, fancy having a go at us, because they know we're in a huge transition. And the confidence wasn't high.
No.
And we all know that, you know. We're not going to
15 minutes, we were on the back foot. I mean, everything we'd been doing well before that, we'd stopped doing. In the end, I was kind of pleased it got to half time. Mm-hmm. The crowd were starting to get restless, as we've talked about. You were hearing a few quite audible groans, and there was still the odd slight pass. Balls were up to Nadiri, they weren't sticking. You know, so maybe winning it straight back again. So at half time, he made a change at half time, and he's made a change in every game at half time.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I hear him getting criticised for it, and the number of times I've wished the Rangers manager would make a change at half time. And you're like, why are you waiting until 60 minutes to make the change? Just make the change at half time. You know, McInnes is making changes at half time, and
he's made quite a lot, John.
It didn't work the other night. And then today, you know, he took off Yokota, who had been doing okay. He'd been doing okay. He probably wasn't as effective as Gassama was today, but he'd been doing okay, and he did okay the other night. But he looked absolutely knackered the other night.
I listened to Derek in the press conference after a game, and he said that he basically went to him and said, just like you said, he says, I'm absolutely shattered. Listen, I need to come off. And that's, you know, you've got to say, he's only been in the country a couple of weeks and he's playing three games a week.
So yeah, and I don't know what stage he was at with his pre-season.
I think he's 2 weeks behind his pre-season.
Right, yeah. So that makes some sense. Understandable. Plus, he's built like a 13-year-old girl, which I don't think helps either.
But anyway,
made the change. He made the change at half-time, brought on Curtis, and, you know, it worked. Because Curtis does a couple of things. He brings energy. He's direct. Curtis's first thought is attack.
I feel for the lad, because I think everybody wants somebody to come through the academy and go, you know, hope he's going to come through and, you know, he's going to do well. He's a Rangers lad. He's came through the grassroots, like many ex-players like Durant and Derek Ferguson and Charlie Millers and Barry Ferguson's. You know, the list goes on. And we all want them to come through, because that's what we want at Rangers. We want a bit of blood in the team who Rangers daft, and it just makes a difference. But you can see the difference. He obviously went to Kilmarnock last year, and that done him the world of good. I think it gave him confidence, minutes under his belt, obviously going away with Scotland in the World Cup has gave him confidence. And I'll be honest with you, if I was Finlay Curtis today and Derek's reading that team out, I'm pissed off that I'm not starting, because I think I've done enough to get a start. And obviously, he can play in left or right flank, and you're dead right, John. What he gives you is honesty. He can get up and down the line. His effort and application is never in question. The only thing I could say with Curtis is, I think he needs a little bit of work on the grass in terms of his final delivery.
Yeah.
It's not the best. And I think Derek will probably recognise that and say, look, let's get him in and do a little bit of crossing and finishing, because he's always good for a pocket goal. Yeah. What I do like about him, John, is direct.
Good
defenders. And what he does is, which nobody else does in the team, he runs in behind.
Yeah.
And he'll look for passes from midfielders like Raskin and Dragojevic to slide balls in behind that he can get in behind the fullback.
Yeah. And that gives defenders a suddenly they're having to think about that, which they really aren't just now, not with Nadiri. I don't even know if I would say they're really thinking about that with Yokota. But they definitely do with Curtis.
He gives them something to think about, because they will run in behind.
Yeah.
And he gets them options. He's comfortable on the ball. As I said, if he can really work on his final delivery, I can see Finlay Curtis starting in either flank. And whoever's not doing it, if it's Gassama or Yokota's not doing it, he is well ready for me to slot in now.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I think
after that performance today, he has got to be knocking on the door to start the next game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. He's filled out as well. You know, you see a difference in him physically now. He's actually quite a big guy.
Yeah.
You know, for a wide player, he's actually quite a big guy. You're just desperate for one of the youths to come through and make a difference to the team.
Yeah.
And he's certainly looks like the best chance just now. And I was pleased. I was pleased he got the 45 minutes. And I was pleased how he played.
Yeah.
You know, he did cause problems. He consistently drives forward. You know, his first. That's the thing I like most about him is his first thought is always attack.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with all of them. So you know, kind of whatever it was, 5-10 minutes into the second half, Gassama gets his goal to cap off a pretty decent performance, and it was something we don't get to say too often at Rangers. It was a great counter-attacking goal. It was the kind of goal we concede at Ibrox too often. And, you know, a goal from a Sitburn set piece. They've got their big lads up for the free kick, and 30 seconds later it's in the back of their net. 15 seconds later it's the back of their net. You know, Gassama has improved, and we spoke about this. He's improved over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
Today was probably arguably his best performance since this time last year when he first joined.
Oh, without a doubt. That was
but he took the goal well. You know, nice finish when put through. And I think it was Penrice that put him through.
Yeah.
I think it was him that played the pass through. And it was just a nice goal, a nice footballing goal. And it came at just at the right time. You know, before St Mirren could get any chance of clawing their way back into the game.
No, it came at a great time, as you said, because, you know, if, you know, St Mirren get that goal, it gives them a foothold and it goes to two each. That's one of those score lines you're going, oh no, here we go again.
Yeah.
But that just alleviated a lot of, you know, tension and whatever again. The goal came at the right time. And by the way, it hit an absolute screamer in the first half that we didn't touch on. It hit the crossbar and it bounced down.
Yeah.
And it was very unfortunate with that.
Yeah. And Nadiri's lucky to have a broken jaw.
I know.
Well, the way to keep him. He was brave to put his head in there.
I had a couple of discussions with people, and they said, see if that was big Matt Hatley or big Duncan. Not only that, would that ball have ended up in the net, the defender and the goalkeeper would have been in the net, bundled in the back of it as well. Because I thought, I looked at it a couple of times and I thought, he kind of bottled it a wee bit, Nadiri, for me. Could he have thrown his shell at that?
See, I didn't. I thought, to be fair, he kept his eye on the ball. But, you know, I haven't watched that enough.
It was a great effort.
But it was.
Honestly, you know, it did bounce down the line. It never crossed the line, unfortunately.
No, I don't think it did.
It was a great effort.
And I didn't realise until today that we don't have that goal line technology.
Well, we don't get that in Scotland, do we? Because, you know, the SFA don't want to, you know, do things right.
Indeed. It allows the referees to make a decision whether or not.
We're not that advanced, John. Don't be silly. SFA, goal line decisions, we don't get them. Remember Raskin's thing at Hibs? We don't get that, mate. Come on. When are they going to introduce that? That's another story, though.
Yeah.
But Gassama's goal was a great. You touched on it. Penrice was just getting us that energy in the left.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the break. It's just, we went from our own 18-yard box to theirs in the space of 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the quickest bit of play I've seen Rangers do in direct play. One-touch football. If you look back at the goal.
That was a nice goal. Yeah,
one-touch.
Nice,
the three players, bang, 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 and then ended up in the net. I went, where did that come from?
Yeah.
We've been lacking that for just quick, intense football that just cuts people open.
Yeah.
That quick football. So even this, you know, tippy-tappy, sideways stuff, you don't get there. And, you know, people get behind the ball and they defend it. You play fast, one-touch football like that, you'll open teams up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's impossible to defend against that.
That is.
And shortly after it, Penrice caps off a great debut with his goal, which we did kind of touch upon. It was a slightly scrappier goal, but what was nice about it was, as I said, was the run from Penrice. That, you know, he basically ran the length of the park and ended up just in their 6 yard box and gets to stick it away.
Yeah.
Which capped off a great debut for him. And then McCausland. I don't know who had McCausland down as a goal scorer today. But I don't imagine it was too many of us. I'm not even sure
McCausland
had him down as a goal scorer today. But it was kind of nice to see him back. You know, look, I imagine McCausland's probably wanting to move on, and I suspect we're probably happy for him to move on. We're just waiting for somebody to make that move. But here's a wee trivia question for you. I'm going to lay it out because I don't know the answer. But we finished the game today with Curtis on one wing, McCausland on the other. And I wonder when was the last time Rangers finished a game with two forward players who both came through the youth ranks. It was probably Gary McSwiggan and John Spencer.
Two old teammates of yours.
Well, I think it was possibly, it could be even further back than that, since Rangers had two attacking players playing in a competitive match that both came through our system. So
yeah.
It was certainly a while ago. But I was delighted for him because
again, it's a clever move with Derek, because you're comfortable at that point. You can put him on and give him minutes. Again, it puts him in the window.
Yeah, it reminds folk he's there. And he's the kind of player who, a Kilmarnock or, a Dundee or someone like that, he would do a really good job for.
Absolutely. No doubt about that.
So, anyway, we'll see what comes. But I was really pleased for him. In between, there was another moment of poor defending. I think it's best to call it when we gave away a penalty. Dealing with the penalty itself, as I said, your luck's in when the referee blows on and says, no, you've got to retake that. And to be fair, he hadn't blown his whistle. You could tell he hadn't blown his whistle, so he had to retake it. It was a good save. The second one was a good save. He did well. I mean, you can say, well, it was a bad penalty, but it wasn't right at him. He had to get across.
Yeah,
made the save. So I'm delighted with that. And as again, had they scored then, I don't know. Don't know if it made much of a difference, but it was certainly giving them some heart. And then you never know. But I think what we want to touch upon is Fernandez. He was, for most people, I think he was the guy who had probably the poorest game today in the Rangers team.
He's been like that the first couple of opening games, John.
Yeah, he's not had a great start to the season.
I don't know if his head's in the right place.
Yep.
He looks like a player that's, does he want to be there? I even watched him in the warm-up today, and they were having a wee kind of get-together. We were asking in the middle of the park, and we were talking about this and that. And obviously, we were asking, giving him a G up and saying, come on, And Manny was kind of lurking at the back of this wee group, and I'm going, he's not fully dipping his toes in the bath here, John. For me, I think he's got a big toe in the bath. You know that one when you get in a cold bath, you're dipping your toe in, you're not quite up for it. You're going, I don't really fancy this. He comes across like that, Manny. I don't know if he's got something in his head that he feels he's maybe just a bit too good for us. He comes across like that. I might be totally wrong, so I don't know his character. I know his agent, and I know he speaks about him, and he says, if this boy could go up another gear. And I know where exactly. We all know. We can see it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got all the attributes.
Oh, yeah. He has the physique. He has the speed. He has the passing ability. Yeah.
His passing ability, by the way. I've seen him slot passes in from defence into people's feet, into strikers. 40, 50 yards, sliding balls. Tremendous.
Yeah. But he doesn't have the concentration.
Get back to basics. Defend first. Start putting your defence first. Just go and win your headers. He should never lose a header the size of that boy.
No.
And timing of tackles, bit erratic. Stay on your feet, time your tackles better. Because there is a player there, but he must cut out the erraticness. And it cost us a penalty. Diving in, just stay on your feet, be a bit more cute, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was a clear penalty. To be honest, he was lucky he wasn't booked.
But the mind games, Pandor did well. The referee done his wee turn saying, oh, I never blew the whistle, retake it. And Phillips, it was that wee mind games. Do I go down the same corner or do I try and go the other way? And Pandor won the wee battle. Yeah. I could see the eyes going, and he's going, go there, go there, go there. And he's gave him the eyes, and he sucked him in, and he saved it. And I'm glad for Pandor, because what I've seen in the opening games, I think he's very comfortable with his feet. He's clearly very good at reading the game. He comes off his line.
Yeah.
He's what we call one of them sweeper keepers. He'll come off his line if he needs to. And he's got a wee bit of pace and he covers well.
Yeah.
I've seen him a couple of times doing it, which I was quite chuffed with. I thought, God, we've actually got a keeper that can be comfortable with his feet. And there was a couple of goals. Dundee United could have got down to that. His positional sense maybe a wee bit off.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, the Dundee United goals, I mean, one was a...
It was lucky. Oh, but
one with the boy who scored, I didn't even know about it. And the second one was a deflection.
It was a kind of bundle over the line. But I'm only talking about what everybody's saying out there, John. They're going, he could have maybe done this, done that.
Nah, I thought it was harsh.
I'm pleased for him today that he actually got a shot. You know, he saved the penalty. I think he looks decent.
Yes, so do I.
I've got an issue with him
whatsoever. Kind of bring today towards an end, or the game today towards an end. What did we do differently today? What would you say was the difference? What's changed in the last few weeks?
I'll tell you what's changed, John. We all turned up today. There was more players turned up today. And what I mean by that is, the opening games, I think it's very clear that Derek didn't know his best starting 11. And that was clear to see because he made so many changes over the first couple of games at half-time, three coming on at half-time. That's unheard of. That's somebody saying to me that he doesn't know his best 11.
Yeah.
And I understand that. He's in the door. He's only been in the job 6 weeks and you're going... And a wee bit of me kind of thought, is he going down the David Moyes route? And what I'm saying with that is, when you've managed, and no disrespect to anybody here in terms of where he's managed before, but where he's managed before, the expectation's not there. And what I mean by that is, Kilmarnock's of this world and Aberdeen's, they're not expected to win every game. And the fans don't get pissed off if they don't win every game. They've got a bit more patience than us because the expectations are not the same.
Yeah.
When you go to Rangers and you walk through that door, you're expected to win every game. So Derek, for me, should be quite get his best 11 on the park that he thought would get him results. And the chopping and changing, I thought, is he trying to keep everybody happy in that dressing room? He's got 28 players to keep happy. You know, is he chopping and changing it to keep this one and that one happy? It's time to be ruthless and just be like Graham Souness or Walter Smith and just forget all the hype about this one and that one. I was going to swear there, John, but I won't. But I'll say, don't worry about keeping people happy and don't worry about keeping people upstairs happy, right? You pick your best 11 available and that's what it done today.
Yeah. You think that is the best 11? Do you think that's their...
I don't think he's far off it. I think there's one or two. Nadiri, probably a doubt for me.
In terms of the players that are fit, I mean, I think we would all agree if Chamiti was fit, he would start, but... you know, he's not.
Probably three today that you could probably think is maybe not. And he's, you know, but they played well today.
Yeah.
They turned up. The first opening games, there was far too many players under par, John. I'm talking about there was only one or two turned up to the party in the first opening games.
Yeah.
There was only one or two pluses. And you can't have that. If you're at Rangers Football Club.
No, you can't.
You need, especially at home. You need 7 or 8, and there was well 7 or 8.
Yeah,
maybe 9 players over 7+ today in terms of 8 out of 8, or you know 8 out of 10. Sorry, they all turned up, and that was the difference: the energy, the application, the closing down, the play was quicker, the tempo was quicker. There was so many more pluses today, and that you could see that's where the massive difference was today, all over the park.
But the team, you know, the team has faced, and the manager, there's been criticism of them. Is it unfair of us to expect what is a new side under a new manager to be going all cylinders at this stage of the season? I mean, we've had 4 competitive games, and today was definitely the best. You know, the 2 league games have been poor.
Mm-hmm.
5 competitive games. The 2 league games have been poor. The 2 European games, we played 2 good halves in each game. and two poor halves in each game, and that's why we're out. You know, but you know, is the expectation that everyone will hit the ground running? Is the expectation that the manager will know his best 11 already? Is it just unrealistic? Do we need to accept that, look, you know, he's going to take 6 weeks, 2 months to get to know the players properly, to know who he can rely on, you know, just to see how this all comes to, who he's got to play. You know, and that was one of the things I was saying, you know, when we were all disappointed after the Hibs game, we were all disappointed after the European game, you know, but you were looking at it and saying, well, you know, it's not like you can say, well, why is he not playing such and such? You know, why is he not? Because, you know, there was nobody. It's not like he's leaving somebody, you know, some match winner on the bench. You know, like you say, he's been giving everybody a go, seeing who it is that performs, who it is that turns up. You know, I was surprised. We talked about this earlier. I was surprised at the start. I was surprised to see Chukwuane in the game. But he had a great game today. You know, I actually thought he had a really good game today. Playing a slightly, you know, playing slightly further forward, I actually thought he had a good game. And, you know, I don't like Asgard. Asgard frustrates the life out of me. Just simply because I think, you know, he's one of these players, he should be so much better than he is. Because he has ability, he has the physique, he has the age on his side, he's got every tool. And I just don't think he delivers often enough. You know, and you know, we played with Chucky there today, and I thought he did well, and I would be surprised if he is not there on Thursday night. I would be surprised if he doesn't retain that position. And is it just simply, you know, is this just a case of us having to be a little more patient? Have we just stopped being patient? Is that wrong here?
I think it's a culmination of many things, John. And I'm going to defend Derek McInnes here a wee bit. I know Derek, and I think he's the right man for the job. I think he's inherited quite a lot of players that are pretty poor for the Rangers Football Club. He's inherited quite a lot of players from Russell Martin's era. We signed 4 players in January, which was... Chukwuane was one of them.
Yeah.
Romans has been a plus.
Yeah. Nadiri and then
Nadiri and the disaster of Olsen.
Yeah.
So barring today's game, you're looking at the 4 that came in January and you're thinking, well, only one of them's been a plus is Romans. Chukwuane put that right today. That's where he should be playing like. He turned up today to the party, as I said. And there was one or two players badly needing to turn up to the party today because I believe the likes of Chukwuane and Gassama, they're walking a tightrope for me. If I'm manager, I'm saying, hey, you need your finger out now. You need to start producing because I've paid big money for you and I need you performing. And they turned up today, which I was pleased for because, you know, they badly needed a performance, particularly those two. And what Chukwuane gives you, it gives you a bit more physicality in the midfield. He's a bit of a unit. He's a big boy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a lover of Asgard and Gassama's in this world playing in midfield together. I just think they don't give you nothing defensively, John. When they're asked to go and track back and defend, which they were found out against Dundee United, they went missing. When your back's against the wall, you kind of have 3 or 4 players in midfield. I felt for Wee Devlin that night. He was our only defensive midfielder and he got overran. And Asgard, for me, is a luxury player. I would bring him on 10, 15 minutes to go. And if he's not happy with that, out the door. I've watched that boy for many years when he was at Wigan. He's not changed. I'm talking about when he was 18.
Yeah.
Type of player, never changed. And you think, God, he's still the same. He's not improved. And what I mean by that is his consistency. He's no doubt got ability on the ball. He's phenomenal. The boy's got unbelievable technique. He's got everything, all the attributes, the size, touch, awareness. He's got everything. What he's not got is the drive and the consistency. And I've seen that boy for many years through the agency I've worked with. Watched him in many, many occasions and he's not changed in the last 10 years. he always used to get brought off 60 minutes into a game, 70 minutes into a game, and you think you just don't get 90 minutes out of that boy. There's one good game, one worldie, and six.
That's what I think as well. I think so as well. He does something like the goal against Dunedin. Wow, look what he can do. Look what he can do. He needs to do more often.
He produces one of these moments and you go, my God, there's something in there. Yeah. But I'm afraid to say, my patience has run out with the lad. Yeah. I think I'd be calling him in there and I'll say, look, I'm going to move you on.
Yeah, no, if somebody came in for him, I would say, for me.
In defence for Derek, it's quite difficult. And for every coach in the world, I've been saying this to UEFA for many years. I think the transfer window is a farce in terms of it should be closed a week prior to anybody starting the league season. I just think it upsets the whole routine.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, every manager in the country, and I'm sure every coach will agree with me here and say, we wish that we could have the window closed a week before the season. Then you know what you're working with. You know somebody's not going to leave 3 weeks down the line. You know Raskin's going to be sold prior to that. You know they're going to cash in them.
I don't disagree.
You know, I just think it needs looking at from UEFA.
We're running out of time, Jamie. You and I think could talk for another hour on just those things. So there's a couple of things I just want to touch upon quickly. The signings that we've made, Pandor, Dragovic, Makayana, Yokota, McCrory, Penrice, Dan Neal, Shankland, Devlin and Godfrey. Now, Godfrey, he's on loan. He's done whatever he thought he would do and get injured in his more or less first game. Devlin has looked better than I thought he would look. He is not a creative player, but he's certainly a guy who, you know, there's a role for him. For us, I think he's a guy who'll probably play more games away from home than at home.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's there's a guy there, and you know, I don't have a big issue with him. Shankland will score goals. He looks off it just now. He just, for some reason, the ball is just bouncing wrongly for him.
Mm-hmm.
Strikers go through that. They'll come through it. I think he'll come through it. Dan Neal, you know, he had a lovely pass today. A lovely first-time pass in one of the attacks today. I've still not enough of him yet to say whether he's going to do it or not. I don't know. I didn't know him beforehand. McCrory comes in and is a good guy to have in your squad. Should never be first choice. You know, he's there to cover at right back. He's there to cover at centre half. He can maybe even come in and do a job at midfield if we're struck. He shouldn't be a first choice. But after that, Yokota, Makanya, Dragovic and Pandor, I look at and think, they look like decent signings. You know, they look like improvements on you know, look, Butland, I thought Butland had mistakes in him, but, you know, he also had moments of brilliance.
Yeah.
You know, Pandor, I like what I've seen of Pandor. I think he looks like a decent sign. I think we spoke earlier about how players needing time to settle. You know, Makanya is the perfect example of someone who seems to not need time to settle. You know, he's come in and
Penrice.
I look really, really good straight away. You know, Penrice as well. And even Yokota, although he's not able to finish a game, you know, you've seen enough. You've seen flashes there to know, yeah, you know what, there's something there. So, you know, I just think what we need to be is a little more patient. As ridiculous as that is. With it. So very quickly, draw has been made, Celtic at home. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it gives us a great opportunity in terms of winning a cup this year, because I'd be classing that as my cup final.
Yeah.
I would be throwing everything in the kitchen sink at starting my best 11 in that game, because even if we were, listen, in hindsight, if you go and win a trophy this year, and let's say we want to win the league, without a doubt. But having said that, if we win a cup this year, John, and we finish second in the league, that's progression for me. And I think the fans at Rangers, love them to death, but have a bit of patience with Derek. He'll get it right. Jim Gillespie will get it right. I think we've got the right owners. They'll throw money at it, and it's going to take patience and a bit of time. All I will say on that, and I'll keep this very brief, just for everybody, in terms of have a wee think. Took Stevie Gerrard 3 years to build a league title winning side. Give Derek time. He will get this right. I have no doubts about that. Just remember that.
Celtic at home. I mean, you know, frankly, that's a far worse draw for them than it is for us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, whilst I suspect we'd have preferred to have avoided them at this stage. You know, if we're going to have to play them, let's play them at Ibrox.
I'm not so sure, John. I would take them on now because that game today will give us confidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, it's interesting. We're playing them 2 games in a row with the league game at Parkhead.
It's been a week, isn't it?
Yes, it's true. There's no game in between.
20th. Yeah. So yeah,
with the league game at Parkhead, and then we're playing them in the cup at home. You know, certainly we've had a decent start to the season, but lost a couple of key players. I don't know the boys that they've signed. I don't know how good they are. Yes, they've had a decent start to the season, but you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I know a few people who were like, "Oh bugger." I didn't feel that way. You know, I was like, no, fine, bring it on.
No. Let's see. Some of the signings you mentioned earlier have came good. And I think...
We need to fix our defence. You know, our defence needs to be fixed by then. But, yeah, let's see it. Refereeing this weekend, I don't want to spend too much time on it. I thought they did everything they could to try and chalk off our goals today. Couldn't find anything to do it with.
Yeah.
Just even then, they couldn't manage. I thought we should have had an absolute clear penalty, that one on Raskin. I don't know how VAR did not see that. You know, fine, if the referee misses it, I don't think he should miss it, but the referee misses it, fair enough. I don't see how VAR not seeing that. I don't know if you've seen the handball, the Celtic second goal. It's quite something. Yes. It's quite something. I'm loving this. I'm seeing people saying, look at the rule. You think, with all due respect, the rule is if his hand is at his side and it hits him, the rule's his hand's away out here. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Refereeing is not getting any better. You know, it does a worry. You know, as a worry. I texted my son when the draw came through for the Celtic game. I said, listen, we can win that as long as there's not a Scottish referee involved, because I'm not sure well off it is. But anyway, as right, let's go very quickly. We've got Jablonec. I'm probably not saying that correctly. My pronunciation is horrific, as everybody who listens to the show will know. Jablonec on Thursday at home. Second in the Czech League currently, no mugs. They might be in the Conference League, but it's probably, ironically, this is probably a harder game than if we'd got through in the Europa League and we'd been playing against Tbilisi. This is probably a harder game. How are you seeing that one?
I think it'll be a difficult test. They always are. Czech teams are always quite good technically. As you said, they're sitting second in the league. I would just use this game. I see it as a wee bit of a distraction. But what I would do with this game is, I wouldn't concentrate too much in Europe. You want to do well in Europe, obviously. But in that competition, I'd be using that to give people minutes and have a look at maybe just different ideas. And I would really focus on, I think Derek needs to focus on domestic rather than Europe at this moment in time. I think we look at Europe a little bit further down the line. Once we get our best 11, and I'm sure that will come at some point, but it'll always be a test in those games for us.
Yeah, Czech teams have, you know, Slavia Prague, Sparta Prague over the years, you know, they're of a decent standard. This is a hard draw.
Yeah, it will be.
But I watched this the other night, and I thought, you know, that's the worst. The most naive Rangers performance in Europe I've seen since before Gerrard came in.
Yeah.
I was very, very disappointed with it. It was like watching Scottish teams from 10 years ago in Europe. You know, the Conference League, I look at the Conference League as actually a trophy we can win.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we can just now. But two seasons ago, I'd have said, you know what, we should be there or thereabouts in that tournament. I don't know just now, but you know, it would still be good to get through. I know what you're saying. You know, our focus should be domestic this season, but I would still like to see us get through. Yeah. We've no match next weekend. We've called it off because of Europe. Do you agree with that?
With the result today, I think I would have liked to have kept that game on just to get more games, more confidence. Just to keep the momentum of winning. You know, me personally, I would have liked that game on. But, you know, they've called it off because of Europe. But We'll see how we go on, John. It's one of those. Me personally, as a manager, I'm sure Derek will be sitting here tonight going, oh, I'd like to get that game on then. Because it gets you another win, it gets more confidence in the camp, and you go on, you know, and it just improves everything. If you get that confidence in your squad and belief in your squad, it makes a huge difference. And you can see that today. And I'm delighted for Derek today because a lot of nice was out, a lot of sharp. A lot of people were out of the shop.
No, I think a bad result today. If we'd been at the cup today, I think it would have been a difficult couple of weeks for him.
Huge pressure. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I bet this will be his best night's sleep for months.
Well, fingers crossed. Jamie, I'm nearly about to bring things to the end, but in big news, you've got a new show elsewhere. Tell us about it.
I have, yeah. No, I've been doing a few of these podcasts with yourselves, obviously, Jersnet. All about the Jers. I've been doing Hands Across the Water with the guys across in Ireland. So I kind of decided, I thought, I just love talking Rangers. I would go on these every night of the week if I could, because I just think it's therapy for me. And I got a lot of frustration off my mind. And I love talking Rangers. So I thought, I'll team up. I've teamed up with Oswald Spar in Glasgow.
Okay.
And Kenny Bogey in there. So Kenny's going to be the host. I'm going to be on every week, and we're hoping to get going live this coming Friday for our first show. So we'll talk about everything Rangers, like you guys do, kind of a wee bit different stuff going on. We've got 9 DAT challenges for players coming in. I've got ex-players coming into the studio. Our first guest is actually Davey Robertson, big player for us in the 9 in a row.
Guests who know what they're talking about, that will never catch on. Jamie, that will never catch on. Great stuff. Okay, well, good luck with that. Hope that goes well for you. We have no show on Friday, so that's okay. But we're not competing. And I believe you'll still be available for...
Absolutely, I'm coming on this. Whenever I'm asked to come on.
Let me end you with a... I don't know if you saw the interview with Danny Roll in the BBC yesterday. But it was an interview with Danny Roll in the BBC yesterday. And we were talking about him living now in Salzburg, and how it's a very different type of city from Glasgow. And he said, this is a direct quote, "The city allows Roll to enjoy some anonymity and serenity after his whirlwind year, at least for now." Quote, "You can't compare Salzburg, especially in Glasgow. It's all about football," said Roll, who speaks with affection for Rangers. "Let's look at just how many podcasts you have after every game. So many opinions."
Yeah.
I burst out laughing. So it's our fault he left.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it is. So, yeah, listen, thanks very much. We're ran tonight because we're in a good mood. Normally I'm on these things, I'm faces trapped, I just want off. So listen, thanks for giving up your Sunday night and coming on and chatting.
That was
very good of you, Jamie. And just to remind everybody that the podcast is available on a variety of platforms, Acast, iTunes, YouTube, CastBox, Stitcher and Spotify. There is no pod next Friday. There won't be one next Friday. We have no game next weekend. So there's no pod next Friday. There might be one on Sunday, we'll see. But there isn't one next Friday. So listen to find Jamie's new show and listen to that instead. Thanks for listening tonight. As I said, if you enjoy this, please subscribe. Tell people. If you don't, well, I'm sure you'll tell Frankie and you'll put it in the comments. Thank you very much and good night.
Cheers, guys.